many times I want to ask you this question. It's not part of my sermon, but it is part of this particular portion of Scripture. What is your gift? Don't tell me out loud. What is your spiritual gift? What is it? Don't say it out loud. Is that the only one you have? Is it the only one you have? If you're a born-again believer, you have a spiritual gift. And so, it's more than the Word of God. But you have a spiritual gift. And so, you may have more than one. And so, what is it? Are you using it? You say, Brother Sewell, why are you talking about it? I'll probably preach tonight's message this morning. You know, I have a body. You believe it or not, it may not be the greatest physique you've ever seen. But it has all different parts within it. Members, as the Bible calls it. That's what it compares the church to here. Compares it to other things in portion of Scripture. But it has a heart. It has kidneys. It has liver. It has all these things. In order for it to function properly, all of them need to be working properly. And the same thing for a church. In order for a church to be blessed, is God's children need to know what their gift is and be functioning in the body. Many people, the church, wonder what's wrong with the church. It's the church. It's not the world. It's the church. And so I hope we'll challenge you to know the thing to be a healthy church is the church needs to be functioning together and be serving wherever God placed you and the gift that God's given you and the talent and ability he's given you. So I want you to dwell on that. Hope you don't, I don't mean it in any way, shape, or form in a harmful way. Begin reading chapter number 12 and verse number 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Chapter number 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Now we can translate that word charity to love. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. It didn't say prophecy, it said prophecies. All right. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. It's kind of odd how he says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Those three things. But he said the greatest of those is charity or love. Paul is, by his divine spirit and by God's leadership, begins to talk to us about the spiritual gifts. But that first verse that I read, there's a statement at the end of it that says a more excellent way, more excellent way. So in chapter number 12, he talks about all the gifts. And you may know what your gift is. You may know you have several gifts. But he's saying there is a better way than just having the gifts. Now, they were braggadocious. They were boastful because the Corinthian church came behind in no gifts. They had all the gifts. The Bible says exactly that. They came behind in no gift. They were a very gifted church, but a very carnal church. And so he said it doesn't matter what your gift is. He says a more excellent way is love. More excellent way. And in that portion before he says that, he said, let me show you a more excellent way. Have you ever tried to describe a sunset to somebody? Just think about a sunset that maybe you've seen recently. Could you describe it? You really probably couldn't. At least I couldn't. My vocabulary is not that good, neither is my imagination. But the same Paul doesn't give a definition here of love, but he does give a description of love. And so when we look out there at that sunset, I look at it, I make it sit there and describe it to you and try to talk it to you, but really, well, you have to see it and experience it for yourself. You have to see that sunset. And the same thing is with us. Each one of us have to have the love of God in our heart and to see and express and know what God's love is. And Paul was saying there's a better way. There's a more excellent way. There are so many people that are living as second-class citizens and God's children and are God's children. They're just living as second-class citizens because they're not living and following the Lord. They're not growing in the Lord. They're not filled with love. You look at the world today and most people will say, oh, I know the Lord. And they would even give, many of them would give a profession of faith that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And you wonder, they seem to live just like the world, if not worse. And they're more bitter. They're angry. You wonder, what's missing? A better way to live. Paul says, let me show you a better way. And so I want to just share with you, try to describe to you the things that Paul gave us by the Spirit of God. And so I'm going to try to describe it. First off, I want to say about love. Love empowers. Love empowers. In other words, it gives energy. It gives fuel to your faith. It gives fervor to your faith. It ignites your faith when you have love. And that's what he says in verse number one. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Now look at what the little statement he says. I am become. Then in verse number two, the end of that verse, he says, I am nothing. Then if you look at verse number three, the end of it, it profiteth me nothing. Now he's listing gifts. He's listing great spiritual gifts, mighty spiritual gifts. But he says in all three of these verses, he says, I am nothing, I become nothing, and it profiteth me nothing. So you could boast, and I could boast, of my gift, my ability, my talent. But without the love, he's saying you're nothing. And so let's go through this list, at least these little three little statements, and let's see if I can explain them to you. He says, verse number one, let's read it again. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. They were bragging, many of the Corinthian church were bragging that they had the gifts of tongues. And they did. Many of them did. And so they put that and they begin to brag and they begin to boast about their gift to be able to speak in an unknown tongue. And Paul says here, though I speak with the tongues of men or of angels, he says, I have not love. He said, I am nothing. I am nothing. In other words, like I've come to that place. Charles Spurgeon, I believe in my heart, and if you read anything about him, you listen to too many preachers, I believe he's probably the greatest preacher that ever lived since the Apostle Paul. If you read him, I'm not saying I agree with everything, but he is probably one of the greatest preachers that ever lived besides the Apostle Paul, since the Apostle Paul. There were some people that went and visited on a Sunday morning, they visited another famous preacher. I'm not sure exactly who it was because there were several in England in that London area at the time. Joseph Park was one. Alexander McLaren was one. Great Bible preachers and teachers. But at the time, there was a group of people. They went Sunday morning to a famous preacher there, and they left the place, and they said, what a preacher. What a preacher. And then they went Sunday night to Charles Spurgeon's service and to his church. And they left saying, what a Savior. What a Savior. And there is a thing about a gift and ability to speak, but there's also a gift and ability for people to listen. The Bible says that, and I pray often, that God gives us an eye to see, an ear to hear, and a heart to understand.
you go back to the parable, I believe it's Matthew, the 13th chapter, the only one that bore fruit out of all those four soils, the only one that bore fruit was one that heard, that understood, and that saw, that heard, and understood, and it bore fruit. That's the same thing with our own spiritual life. We make it hear it with our ear, but we don't understand it with the heart. It's not going to bear fruit. You can hear the gospel message, and you may hear it, and hear it, and hear it, and hear it, and you may understand it intellectually, but if you don't understand your heart, it makes no difference. That's the work of the Spirit I can't do. The Holy Spirit does that. And so we need to have God's help. And so let's suppose Charles Spurgeon preached a message, and it's a mighty message. I'm not comparing myself to Charles Spurgeon in any way, shape, or form. You read him, you'll see what I'm talking about. But he has that gift. He had that gift to speak. An oratory ability. And people loved to hear him. And so they heard his message. Suppose he's preaching the message on 1 Corinthians, and he begins to talk, and man, people are just convicted. They're moved to a place of change in their life. They love to hear him. But then all of a sudden Charles Spurgeon maybe gets backslidden in his life. Preaches the same message maybe a year later. Maybe to the same crowd, maybe to another crowd. But love is missing. You know what's missing? The fuel, the fire that makes the difference. He said, I am become as a tinkling cymbal, sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. In other words, once people heard me and they enjoyed and hung on every word, he said, now I preach the same words. He said, I may have that still gift and ability, but he said, my words to people are like somebody clanging a piece of metal. The hearing is not the same. The gift of delivery and the receiving is changed. What's missing? Love. Love. You could have a gift, but you have to have love. It's a more excellent way. So he goes on to say, he says, I am nothing. And he goes on to say, verse number 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. These are some tremendous gifts, mighty gifts. If you were a prophet or Apostle Paul, he had the gift of knowledge. He could take the words of knowledge. He didn't have the full canon of scriptures. And so he could preach the word of knowledge to people. God's word. The knowledge that God gave him. And the wisdom that God gave. And then he'd be able to take the mysteries of the gospel that the Old Testament prophets never understood and be able to pull them out of scriptures and talk to you about the words of life and show you the mysteries of God that people have not seen. That's the gift of prophecy that the apostles had. Then he said, suppose I have faith that could remove mountains. I'm talking about mountain moving faith. That's pretty good faith. He said, if you have faith just the grain of a mustard seed, you could say under that mountain, be cast in the sea. God said it would. You believe that? I told you the story about a missionary. He said he taught that to some children in a foreign field. They had this big mountain that blocked the sunlight, and so there was much dampness and much sickness. He was going through that scripture, not thinking about it. They learned that scripture, and they saw it, and they said, hey, we're going to pray for this mountain to be removed. He said, I didn't want to destroy their faith, but I thought, man, God's not going to do that. But they had faith, and so they prayed for it. Within a couple of weeks, the government came in, dynamited that mountain, and bush-hogged it, or pushed it level, and put a road around it. They had faith. The missionary might not have had it, but the child had it. And so the Bible, you could have that type of ability. You may have a great gift. I believe my gift, or at least part of it, is preaching. Prophecy is to foretell and to foretell. I'm foretelling the truth, not foretelling the future. That part is gone. But I am foretelling and preaching the Word of God. Doesn't matter how great your gift or my gift or what we think our gift is, how much needed it is. If you don't have love, he says, I'm nothing.
He said it there. Look what he says.
I am nothing. I worked secular job and long enough to know I've seen owners of companies. I've seen salesmen. I've seen managers. I've seen high-class technicians that paid good money get fired, leave, and quit. And not one of them ever kept that company afloat. Everybody is replaceable. This preacher is replaceable, and so are you. No matter where we think we are, in God's family, in God's economy, we're all replaceable. We need love.
He says,
I don't care what you have. If you don't have love, really is no good, no profit.
Look at verse number 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, I think many times in Scripture, or at least in our own personal Christian life, maybe things are not going like I want them to go, or like you want them to go, trying to do the work of the Lord. Maybe we're teaching Sunday school class, maybe working the church, maybe soul winning. And so we get into, instead of doing, having the love, instead of growing in the Lord, we get into all activity. Doing, working, ministering. And all that, we toil, we wear ourselves thin. But he said it profiteth nothing without love. You gotta have love. That's the key ingredient that infuels the power of God in our lives. I have a gift. You have a gift. But in order for God to move it, use it, is that thing breaking in and out? Is the voice, is my voice losing in and out? Okay, all right. But in order for that work to be profitable, I have to have love. Paul says love empowers. Love empowers. Do you have it? Do you have it? We know we have a gift. Do you have love to go with it? He says there's a more excellent way. So love not only empowers, let me just say this. Love also, if I can find my, overcomes. Love overcomes. Look at verse number 7. He says, talking about love, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I put down endureth all things. In other words, no matter what the trial, no matter what the trouble, no matter what the difficulty, he said, love will bear underneath it. It'll endure it. It'll endure it. Let's go through this list real quick, if we can, because it's a very extensive list, and he gives a good list. So the first thing he says, that love suffereth long. Suffereth long. Now I want you to examine your own heart and your own life. You say, I got love. Well, let's see how your love stacks up based on that. He said, love suffereth long. In other words, how about that wayward child? Suffer long with that child. How about that hard-nosed, evil husband? Suffers long. How about that stubborn wife? Suffers long. And so he's saying love suffereth long. He goes on to say, he said love is kind. In other words, it reacts in gentleness. Doesn't react with a fight. What'd you say? It reacts with gentleness. I woke some of you up there. He says it envieth not. In other words, it's content with what God has given. Are you content with where you are? With what God's given you? Are you envious of someone else? He goes on to say, he said it vaunteth not itself. In other words, it's not always looking for somebody to pat them on the back for glory. Not always boastful about what they've done, or what I've said, or what blessing. And so it vaunteth not itself. Love doesn't do that. He said love is not puffed up. In other words, it's not filled with pride. You could deal just as easily with somebody of equal stature or higher stature, or somebody that comes off the street that's a bum. You treat them the same. Not puffed up with pride. Not filled with pride. He says love does not behave itself unseemly. What does that mean? In other words, it's not immoral. It's not vulgar. It acts decently, not indecent.
Love seeketh not her own. Not selfish. Working for others. Helping others. Love is not easily provoked. Do you have a short fuse? Somebody says something to you crossways, you ready to pop off? Pop somebody. I told my wife today, just aggravating, I play with her. Oh, is she in here? There she is. I said, don't make me have to slap you, baby. I said, I'd hate to look at you out in the congregation and see that mark on your face. I said, talk about love. I'm just picking it up, just playing with it. You know, some people, that's how we are. In a moment. I tell you, we live in a world that, brother, if people look at you wrong, or they pull a card in front of you, or they cut out in front of you, first thing people want to do is pop off. Thing that's missing among God's people many times is love. Love thinketh no evil. In other words, not the first thing you think of the situation comes, or you hear bad, you think the worst. You know one thing about a mother? I notice a mother always seems to think the best of her child. Maybe the wrong, but you know what caused her to do that? Love. When everybody else says, that guy, that son, that child is a dirty, rotten, low-down, she doesn't see it that way. She may know it's true. She doesn't see it that way. You know what's missing, what she has? Love. That's what Christians need. Not to talk about it, but to have it. And so he's saying, love overcomes, is what he's talking about. It empowers, it overcomes. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. When you hear something bad about somebody, do you rejoice in your heart about it? You may not say anything outwardly, but do you rejoice? Oh, I'm glad that happened to them. He says, love there thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not iniquity. Love beareth all things. Love covers and protects. You know, you may go over there, go out in the rain, and it's pouring down rain. You may pull an umbrella like love. It may cover. Rain's still falling, but at least you're covered. That's what love does. Love covers those things, and so covers us. Love believeth all things. It's not gullible, but it loves people without suspicion, without thinking the worst. And love, he said, endureth all things. It remains through the testing. Remains through the testing. Now, I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud how good you did, how well you did, but I do want you to think about your life. I want you to think about difficulties you're having with maybe a family member, maybe more than one. I want you to think about somebody having difficulty with your employer, employee. I want you to think about something, somewhere, some way in your life you're having trouble. You say, I don't know how in the world I could bear under this. I don't know how I can overcome it. The Lord says that love empowers, that love overcomes. It overcomes. Love overcomes. Let me give you the last thing quickly. Love lasts. Love lasts. Look at your word, verse number 8. Charity never, never faileth. Never faileth. That alone is good enough. But it gives a list there in that verse. He says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. You know, the Old Testament prophets, they had already, many of them prophesied, they had already been fulfilled. Prophecy, he said, they shall fail. He says, whether they be tongues, they shall cease. This preacher's belief, and most people that know the Bible, study that tongues, it ceased. It's a gift that ceased. It was a sign gift. Sign to the unbeliever. But the gospel, we have the gospel gone to the known world. It was gone to the known world at that time. But he says tongues will cease. Whether you believe it did cease or it will cease, it is going to cease. It is, in my opinion, already, but regardless, that's not my argument. I want you to get caught up on that. He says in verse, whether they be knowledge, there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. There was a while back, it's been a long time back, they said the doctors, physicians, said there were 100 different organs or organisms within your body you didn't necessarily have to have. That's been a lot of years ago. You know, now they think all that list is a lot smaller.
that even your tonsils, all those things that they said were insignificant or you didn't necessarily need, they realize now you need them. Science is always changing. The science of 100 years ago is almost obsolete. And when he says knowledge here, he's talking about what man's knowledge. He said knowledge, verse number 8, it shall vanish away. But at the beginning of our verse, it says, charity never fails. When everything else seems to fail, when it comes to Christianity, he said, love never fails. There's not one person on this planet that God cannot reach and cannot save. Love is that one thing that God says a more excellent way. He said, let me show you a more excellent way. But he goes on in verse chapter number 14, verse number 1, he says, follow after charity. Follow after. There was a lady in my office this week with another lady I was interviewing, and I gave her a statement, and I give it often to people, and I said, I want you more than just to offer your check and employ us, and I want to help you all your life. And I do. I want to help people. I don't want to hurt them. I want to help them. I might hurt them sometime, but I don't want to. I wanted to help her. And I said, if you'll put the Lord, she was a young girl to me, I said, if you'll put the Lord first, the Lord will bless you all the way. I said, just follow the Lord. And that statement, most people say, okay, yeah, I'll follow the Lord. What does that mean? Put the Lord first. What does that mean? Think about that. What does that mean to put the Lord first? Put Him first for the day? Put Him first before you ever speak to a human being. We all speak to the Lord. Put Him first when it comes to religion or faith, God's house, first part of the week. Put Him first in your pocketbook. You put Him first in every part of your life. And I know without a shadow of doubt, because I've been living for 48 years, and most of that life, I have always, now I'm not saying I hadn't failed, and I'm not saying I don't have faith, but I've always put the Lord first. And God has blessed me because of it. Bless me. And that's what He's saying here. He said, follow after charity. There's a better way to live than just getting by. Follow after the Lord. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Fruit of the Spirit is love. First one. Love. You say, Brother Sewell, where did I get that love? You follow after the Lord. And you grow in the Lord. And you seek Him. And these things will come forth in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.